ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
If you're all set and ready, you know what? So am I.
The Mighty Challenge.
25 questions of five categories. Our categories tonight are category number one, basketball. Category number two, sitcoms. Category number three, famous Allens. Category number four, the Wild West. And category number five, it's pot luck. All right, basketball, sitcoms, famous Allens, the Wild West, pot luck. Stuart from Victor Harbour is going to kick us off. Hello, Stuart.
Okay. I'm going to get out of Perth and Maori and Chris in Pasadena and a friend of mine, Rosie Dassel.
There you are.
And I've got two suggestions. Smash your telephones and pay cash for all transactions.
Okay. Thank you. You might go cold and you might get a bit cold and hungry at some point.
Well, I just find that whole AI thing pretty scary, Phil.
I think everyone does. I think everyone does.
Yeah,
I'm going to do a program about it in the next week or so. So look out for it.
Do you really have much of an idea what's going on? Seriously.
I
don't.
We'll discuss it. We'll discuss it, Stuart. Okay, I agree. Yeah. No, I agree. It scares the life out of people. I agree with that.
Yeah,
and for something that we never even asked for. Now, what do you like here? Basketball?
The 1970s are pretty good, Phil. 1980s. Oh, great. Anyway, mate, I'll go pot luck since Phil.
Pot luck.
Living in the past, I guess.
Pot luck.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with living in the past.
Oh, well, it was a great time, wasn't it?
For some people, yeah.
Well, we're very lucky in this country.
For some people, it was. Hey, sure. Question number one, potluck. Earlier this year, at the age of 45, who became the oldest singles player ever to compete at the Australian Open?
Truth. Right. That's tennis, I guess, isn't it? I don't know. You can answer questions here. Australian Open. Okay. I'll go Venus Williams, mate.
Venus Williams is correct.
Oh, right, eh? Because she is a... Oh, right, I heard her talking...
Actually, I think Venus and Serena are teaming up at the at Wimbledon, too.
In the
doubles. Good on.
That's pretty good, eh?
I think it's fantastic. Question number two, pot luck. Staying here?
Yeah, thanks, Phil.
In Australian prisons, Stuart, most inmates' clothing is primarily which colour?
Is it orange? Orange.
No, it's not orange.
No, that's...
No, it's not orange. Thank you, Stuart. Bye-bye. No, it's not orange. Sophie from Glen Iris. G'day, Sophie.
Hey, Phil.
How you doing? All right?
Yeah, I've got a bit of a cold, but other than that, I'm okay.
Pot luck we're in. You've never done chokey yourself, have you, Sophie?
No, but I've been to a major prison, so I'm hoping that that puts me
in that case, you might be all right here. In Australian prisons, most inmates' clothing is primarily which colour?
I'm going to go with green.
Correct. Yes, it is. It's green. It's green in I think, most states, actually. Maybe they get it all from one, contractor.
And if I had to say more detail, I'd say it's sort of a dark green, like a foresty green.
No, it'll be the Australian classic colour Brunswick green, wouldn't it, Sophie?
Oh, yes, a Brunswick green.
It'll be a Brunswick green. Yes, it's green. I presume they probably do buy the tracksuits from the same contractor. Question number three. We're in potluck, but you can move.
Sorry, Phil. Could I move to sitcoms, please?
Yes, you can. Sitcoms. Question number three. Which British sitcom was set in the offices of the fictional Renham Industries?
British sitcom. I'm going to go with The Office.
Not The Office.
Mm.
No. No,
it was a good
grumble, grumble, grumble. Thank you. Thank you, Sophie. See ya. Bye-bye. Lozzie and Huntley had dark green, yes. Lynn the Queenslander said fawn. No, Jane from Hambush had green. my texter says it's grouse for camo if you escape. Yeah, well, that's if you escape and you're hiding in a bush, but I don't think that's a sensible strategy. If you're up and over the wall of Chokey, I think you're not hiding in a bush, are you? Surely not. I don't think so. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Little Brother Trucker says, shame on you, Phil, asking a blind man what colour is a prisoner's clothing. You don't have to have seen it. I wouldn't have thought. Jeff from Jalorup, I'll come to you in a second. Scott from Blacktown. G'day, Scott.
G'day, mate. How are you going?
Not bad. Question number three. We're in sitcoms. Which British sitcom was set in the offices of the fictional Renham Industries?
Can I change it or do I have to have a crack?
Sadly not. You have to have a crack, Scott. It's the way the biscuit breaks.
English sitcoms. Any hints? No. All right. We'll just go. No, I have to pass. I've got absolutely no idea. I was about to say on the buses, but that's just.
Oh, well, that's another one. No, Scott, it's not on the bus. Thanks, mate. See you later. No, it's not on the buses. Chris from Nelson Bay. G'day, Chris.
Good evening. How are you going tonight?
Pretty good. Sitcoms. Excellent. Which British sitcom was set in the offices of the fictional Renham Industries?
Oh, I know this one. That's hilarious. It's the IT Crowd.
Correct. It is the IT Crowd. The IT Crowd, yes.
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Hello, IT. Yeah. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again? Hello, IT. Have you tried turning it off and on again?
Hello, IT.
Something's wrong with my computer.
Have you tried turning it off and on again?
No. Oh, dear. Thanks.
Yeah, no, it was funny. Question number four, what do you want to do here? Stay with sitcoms, Chris, or you can move?
Yeah, let's go for sitcoms.
Sitcoms. In which 1990s American sitcom did Tim Allen play Tim the Toolman Taylor?
That was Home Improvement.
It was Home Improvement. You are quite right.
Al's measured our pipe the correct length, and I'll be cutting it with my old two-bitter trusty Binford hacksaw. Gosh, I've had this thing a long time. You know, you get to take stuff for granted after a while, you know. Don't respect it like you should. You know what I'm getting at?
Not even close, Tim.
Well, I'm saying that you could go out and buy, you know, see the new ones are all shiny chrome and polyurethane handles and everything, but you kind of forget that old faithful one you got back at home. A little clearer now?
Less than ever, Tim.
Oh, dear. Chris, question number five. We're in sitcoms.
But okay.
You can stay there if you like, or you can move.
I'll give it another go.
Okay. Chris from Nelson Bay on fire. In which decade did The Simpsons first air on television?
I believe I was, it's 1990.
Not the 1990s, no. Sorry, Chris, no, not the 1990s. Jeff from Jalorup. G'day, Jeff.
Hi, Philip. Can I pretend I'm asleep and you come back to me later?
Yeah, sure. Okay. You have to do the snoring thing for me, though, Jeff. No, that's a laughing sound, Jeff.
Okay. If it's not the 90s, I have to go to the 80s.
Correct. Yes, it was. It was the 80s. I feel a bit sorry for my previous contestant because it was 1989 when The Simpsons first went to air on television.
And the very same goes for Ezekiel, which brings us back to our starting point, the nine tenets of constancy.
Yay!
Oh, man, am I glad you got out of there.
Hey, calm down. You're wrinkling your church clothes.
Who cares? This is the best part of the week.
It's the longest possible time before my church.
Church shouldn't be a chore. It should help you in your daily life.
It should, but it doesn't. Now, who's going with Daddy to the dump?
Oh, dear.
I haven't known one of those so far. I haven't even watched one show.
Haven't you? Oh, no, you've got to. You should check The Simpsons out at one point. It can be. You need to watch it probably, a bunch of them to get into it. But it's the most beautifully written show. It's very, very funny.
Mm.
No.
Oh.
No?
Yeah, well, I'm leaving that for sure. Whatever, leaving that sitcoms.
Question number six. We're in sitcoms. Okay, we can get out of that if you like. There's a choice of basketball, Famous Allen's, The Wild West, or Potluck.
Let's go basketball. That sounds interesting.
Basketball. Ending a 53-year drought. Which team won the 2026 NBA final series?
Yeah, Jalen Brunson, New York Knicks.
The New York Knicks, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of people were on board about this in Australia for reasons which slightly puzzled me, but there you go.
Yeah, they were good to watch. I watched the highlights, just the minis of them or the shorts of them. Jalen Brunson's amazing.
It's a fair way to watch basketball, isn't it? Just to watch the mini, probably?
Yeah, no, I couldn't watch a whole game.
It's a good way to watch soccer. It's a good way to watch soccer, actually, I think.
No, soccer, you've got to watch the whole game.
No, you don't. No, you don't. The mini is very good. I think SBS have got some, they've got these 12-minute minis, which
yeah,
is...
Yeah, they have, yeah. Which they're are, good too.
You have to watch quite a few ads to get through it all, but anyway, but, you know, you can't blame them, I suppose. But I think that's the it's the best way to watch games in a way.
Yeah. I don't mind the World Cup, yes. No, the World Cup, that's good.
Yeah, okay. All right, question. Well, how did you get into American basketball, Jeff?
Oh, I played basketball as a kid. And
Now
it's on KO and you can just, you know, and I've been following the final series.
Yeah. Do you follow the Australian basketball?
A little bit. The Wildcats. A little bit, yeah.
Perth Wildcats, yeah.
Again, I'd skip it to about the last 5 minutes of a game and then just watch the last 5 minutes.
Which is the only bit of basketball you need to watch.
Yeah, that's what I think. So.
It's usually 93, 95 or something.
It's just sport. And it's sport, so I like sport. So.
Yeah, good
that's
on
why
you.
I don't watch sitcoms.
Question number 7. We're in basketball.
Yep.
If you played basketball, you might be all right with these. The tallest player in a basketball team... usually plays which position?
Centre.
Correct. Yes, the tallest player plays centre. Nice work. That's 3 on the trot. Can he make it 4? Question number 8. We're in basketball.
Yeah, stay there.
Which team won the 2025-26 NBL season?
Oh, it was the Wildcats got knocked out. I think it was the Sydney Kings, because what's his name owns it? Oh. Yeah, I think it was the Sydney Kings.
Is that your answer?
Yeah.
Correct. Yes, it was. It was the Sydney Kings. Hey, Jeff, This is your best run for a bit.
No, I got 6 a couple of weeks ago, but you said you'd only give me 5.
No, I only gave you 5, because, I mean, I already gave you the answer to one of those, remember?
Yeah, but I was thinking that makes up for Vanuatu a couple of years ago when you got it all wrong. See, so you'll just give me one back.
Oh, Jeff, you are digging a hole for yourself, and pretty soon, Jeff, I'm going to put the manhole cover on it as well. Jane from Homebush reckons the mini is the best way to watch baseball too. Oh, unquestionably, Jane. Yes.
Yes,
baseball goes on forever.
Yep.
I went to see a game once in America. I left before it finished. Well, you have to. Who's got time to stay there? Question number 9. Oh, these are too easy for you.
I hope so.
How many points is a free throw worth?
A free throw? 1.
Yeah, exactly. All right, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Jeff from Jalorup, he's been on the juice or something. how much chewing and spitting can you put up with, says my texter. Oh, you mean watching baseball? Yeah, they do, don't they? Do you reckon in Australian cricket, Jeff, that they always used to chew gum?
Australian cricket. Well, there's
a lot of gum chewing now, I can tell you.
Yeah. I don't know.
I wonder if they're watching a lot of American baseball, because in American baseball, everybody chews gum all the time.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I haven't really noticed it.
Although you don't see them spitting and rubbing your hands together and getting better grip on the bat, do you? No. I suppose they've got the batting gloves. Hey, let's move on. Question number 10. We've got 1 left in basketball.
Yep.
Oh, I see. he's eager. Okay, for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, this will be 6 in a row, which would equal your best.
Yep, it would.
What is the nickname of the New Zealand men's basketball team?
Oh, there the is. Oh, the yeah, the yeah. Yeah, they're something, aren't they? Oh, I have heard it, and it's going to come back to me later. It's something like, but I don't know. Now, I'll give that to someone else.
Equal best score, Jeff. Not bad.
Okay. Thanks, Philip.
See you, mate. Bye-bye. Thank you. Kit from Shell Harbour says, how can you say baseball games go on forever? What about cricket? That's true. There is no argument about that, Kit. Although your modern form of cricket, obviously multi-day, test cricket, that's true. That's true. Paul from Planland says they played basketball on Wednesday nights at Lang Park back in the early 70s. Yeah, basketball is one of those sports in Australia that it's come and gone, hasn't it? It's gets money and, its owners put money into it and it goes for a few years and then, even though it's a popular sport that people play, I know, but they're organised comp. Question number 10, who's next up here? We've got Brian from Rocky. G'day, Brian.
Hello.
Question number 10 we're up to. We're in basketball. What's the nickname of the New Zealand men's basketball team?
I know, I think I'm about to deal with Bradbury. I had no idea of the rest of them. It's the Tall Whites.
No, it's not. Sorry, it's not. No. Sue from the Blue Mountains, Wentworth Falls. G'day, Sue.
Hi. Yeah.
We're in basketball. What's the nickname of the New Zealand men's basketball team?
Oh, it's the worst subject for me. No, the Black Ferns.
Not the Black Ferns. I like what you were mucking around with there, Sue, but no. Sorry, no, not the Black Ferns. Nicole from Flinders Park. Hi, Nicole.
Hello.
Hello, hello.
I'm very excited.
Well, I'm excited too, Nicole. Question number 10. Basketball. What's the nickname of the New Zealand men's basketball team?
I'm fairly sure it's the Tall Blacks.
Correct, yes. Not the tall, Tall Whites, the Tall Blacks.
No, come to me, finally.
Come to me, yes. Throw the ball to me. Me. Yes. Look, I'm sitting under the hoop,
if
come
you
on.
Need. That's a netball thing, but anyway.
You're a netball fan, yeah, well.
No, I'm not.
Oh, you're not?
If you need.
Every young female with a ponytail at some point in their life, Nicole, play netball?
I did play netball at primary school.
Of course you
did. I was terrible. I was tall, so I was the goalkeeper. I couldn't catch a ball. So.
Oh, no.
No.
I had two daughters and, of course, I once went out to there was a big netball centre, open air thing,
Yes.
And I reckon there would have been like 50 courts, probably.
Oh.
It was massive. Anyway, so I dropped them off there, but I had to go and do something and I had to come back. And I said, don't worry, I'll find you. Because I looked out and there's about, 8,000 10-year-old primary school kids, girls, of course, all with identical ponytails, bobbing up and down playing netball. Which one's mine? I don't know. Took quite some time to find her. Did you watch me, Dad? Of course I did.
Of course.
Yeah. Question number 11. Well, there's no more basketball. That's mainly because Jeff from Jalor up knocked most of it off. So we have sitcoms, Famous Allens, Potluck, or The Wild West.
Sitcoms, please.
Okay. Castlemaine Davo says a lot of US baseballers at least used to chew tobacco. Nicotine said to improve concentration. Oh, okay.
I think that's right.
I think that is right, actually. I think the chewing of tobacco is a pretty disgusting habit, isn't it?
Yeah, seems gross to me, but
seems pretty gross. Well, where are you going to get rid of it? Yuck. Let's move on.
Spit it on the ground.
Shush. Let's move on. Question 11. We're in sitcoms. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, please.
Which unusual sitcom family lived at 1313 Mockingbird Lane.
The Munsters.
Correct. Very good.
I thought I was going to do an Anne there, but anyway.
All right. Oh, you were going to go for another one, would you?
Well, there are two unusual families. And
I know which one was there and which one was somewhere else. I know what you're saying. Yeah. Mm. Oh, nicely avoided. Because I reckon the success rate for people trying to avoid the Anne is
very poor.
5% probably. Here we go, the Munsters.
The lesson I want you to learn is it doesn't matter what you look like. You can be tall or short or fat or thin or ugly or handsome like your father. You can be black or yellow or white. It doesn't matter. What does matter is the size of your heart and the strength of your character.
Oh, how about that, Nicole?
I always preferred the Munsters to the other family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I think I'm with you on that. I think I'm, yeah. All righty. Question number 12. We're in sitcoms. We've got one left in sitcoms.
Oh, yes, please.
All right, why not? Oh, this is too easy for you.
Well, let's not call it just yet.
Oh, we've had a few pies tonight, I must say.
Uh-oh, God. Now when I don't get it right, it's going to be embarrassing.
Sitcoms. Ruth Cracknell and Gary McDonald played the title roles in which classic sitcom?
Mother and Son.
I told you.
Okay.
Mother and Son is correct.
Oh, there you are. There you are, Arthur. Home already.
Mum, are you okay? What happened?
Nothing happened. I had a quiet day at home today, a nice quiet day.
Tell me the truth.
Well, I did a little bit of shopping.
You got arrested?
Yes, I got arrested. I went out, did some shopping, got arrested, came home a quiet day.
Arrested for stealing?
Oh, no, Arthur, not stealing. Stealing's a sin.
Shoplifting is stealing.
Does this mean you're still mad at me, Arthur?
Oh, dear, marvellous. Ruth Cracknell, how good, hey?
Very good.
David from Mount Pleasant says, yes, baseballers chewing gum might be annoying, but thankfully they no longer chew tobacco. Secondly, if it's hard to watch a whole game of baseball, surely the same applies to 2020 cricket. Yeah, well, I suppose it's horses for courses here, David, isn't it?
That's it.
Righto, question number 13. We've got no more sitcoms, so we've got three categories left. The Wild West, Potluck, or Famous Allens?
Look, let's just go Famous Allens, and at least there's... there's half the name covered.
Famous Allens. Which disgraced businessman was born on the 22nd of April, 1938, in London?
Alan Bond?
Correct, yes. Alan Bond, Famous Allens.
Excellent.
Question 14. Now, which one did you start on? You had, you got two sitcoms, right, didn't you?
Got two sitcoms. The Tall Blacks.
And you started with Alan Bond. That's right. You started with the Tall Blacks. So one, two, three. That's four. Nice work.
That's the best so far.
Is that the best you've ever done, Nicole?
I've done four before.
Oh, have you?
But it's at this point that it all falls down.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. Let us see, as the vegetable said.
Let us see.
Question 14. Famous Allens. Which journalist is the regular finance presenter on ABC TV News?
Oh. Alan. That's probably not going to be enough.
I'm not going to give it to you for Alan, though.
This is probably not even an Australian person, so this will be embarrassing, but Alan Greenspan.
Not Alan. He's in the finance area. Oh, that's all I'll say, but it's not Alan Greenspan. Thanks,
that
Nicole.
Close enough. Thank you. Bye.
Well done. Bye. Well done. Good fun. All righty. Lynn the Queensland had Alan Bond. Sandra from Perth. That's not correct, actually, no. Paul from Plainlands. Correct. Yes, Susan from Hobart. Correct. How many runs in a full game of baseball versus how many runs in a full game of 2020? Stop smoking the grass, says my texter. I knew we would annoy somebody with all this. 1-300-800-222 is the number. Kelly from Cottesloe. Hi, Kelly.
Hi, how are you, Phil?
Oh, I'm all right, yeah. We're up to question 14. Famous Allens. Mm. Which journalist is the regular finance presenter on ABC TV News?
I don't know. This is my third time that I haven't gotten a question.
Oh, no.
And I was there for basketball.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You were.
So I missed that.
No good, Kelly?
No good.
Okay, thank you.
On to the next.
See ya. Bye-bye. Have another crack next time. Jane from Homebush has got the right answer. Maria from Seaview Downs, correct. Sue from Ballarat, correct. Chris from the Northern Rivers, correct. Jenny from Cooperoo is also correct. What about Tyler from Cabramatta? G'day, Tyler.
Hey, how you going?
Not bad. Question number 14. We're in Famous Allens. Which journalist is the regular finance presenter on ABC TV News?
Kohler.
Correct. Alan Kohler, yes.
Yeah. Boring. He's boring.
Hey, steady. Steady. Steady.
Yeah, yeah.
Steady.
My old man's name's Al too, so that's
is he?
When it'll come up, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's a little 4'2" man from Tasmania.
No, he's not. Question
he's 15. A little bit shorter than that.
Question 14. We're in Famous Allens, if you like.
Oh, what are the other subjects?
We've got the Wild West or Potluck.
Oh, let's go with the luck one, please, Bruce.
Potluck. Question number 15. Which United Nations Secretary General's aeroplane crashed in Zambia in September 1961?
God. No idea.
Thank you. Thank you, Tyler. See you later. All right. Where are we? Anthony from Jabiroo in the Northern Territory. G'day, Anthony.
Hey, how you going?
Not bad. Question 15, potluck. Which United Nations Secretary General's aeroplane crashed in Zambia in September 1961?
1961. No good. Zambia, was it? Zambia, 1961.
All right, Anthony, we'll move on. Tom from Harvey. G'day, Tom.
Hi, Bill. How are you?
Which United Nations Secretary General's aeroplane crashed in Zambia in September 1961?
Oh, honestly, no clue. I think it was from Belgium or France, but I don't know the name, sorry.
I would. Okay. We'll move it along in that case. Mick from Glen Iris. Hey, Mick.
How you going?
Yeah, good.
Good.
What's so funny here? What's so funny here, Mick?
I'm just driving along going, don't come to me, don't come to me, please don't come to me. Because, yeah. You know, 1961, 5 years before I was born, geez.
Oh.
You've
heard of stuff before you were born, Mick, surely.
Oh, yeah, true, very true, but not...
Not everything that's happened in the world happened since after you were born, Mick.
All the important things did, though.
No.
all right, so it was a United Nations...
Which United Nations Secretary General's aeroplane?
Secretary General.
Crashed in Zambia.
Let's go with... I won't even hazard a guess. Not a problem at all.
No,
thank
good.
You.
See ya.
Have a good night.
Bye. See you later. Kylie from Daysdale. G'day, Kylie.
Hello there. Hello there. Thanks for making me laugh again today. It's just your listeners are so private. They're so funny. They just make me laugh and all the text people.
Yeah.
Go the Swans. Go. They had a good win in Adelaide over the weekend, and I think they'll play off with Frio for the grand final.
Well... yeah, I know.
I know. That's my 3 months out. Phil, have a a good week, and I'll chat next.
Okay.
Week.
See you, Kylie. Bye-bye. See you, Kylie. Judy from Hectorville's got it. May has got it. Grumpy from West Hobart. No, that's not correct, Grumpy. Sorry, no. Chris in the Southern Waters, no. Dominic from Longwood, that is correct, yes. Kate from Blackheath in the Blue Mountains. G'day, Kate.
Hello. Hello, Phil. What's the question? What's the category?
Question 15 we're up to. We're in a category called Potluck. Which United Nations Secretary General's aeroplane crashed in Zambia in September 1961?
Okay, you're going to get no takers tonight for that one, and that'll be the end of the show.
There's no clues.
Would I have any clue?
No, of course you want a clue. No.
No, I'm not going to get a clue. Is it an easy name? No, it's obviously not an easy name because no one knows it.
No one knows it yet, Kate, I think.
I don't even have an idea. So this is a very short and merry stay. I'll say goodnight. And hello, Auntie Mari.
Hello, Auntie Mari. Okay. See you, Kate.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. See you later. My texter says, Phil, I want to respond to that rude comment about Alan Kohler. He's the best. My husband and I look forward to his financial reports. Always clear, great sense of humour and humanity, and he makes finance interesting for the everyday person. I think your caller may have been ageist, says Jen. Thank you, Jen. You don't need to support Alan Kohler to me at all. He's the greatest. He's been on the program here quite a number of times over the last years talking about economics and housing and so on. A fountain of common sense. Where are we? Marie from Naruma. Hello, Mari.
Hello, Phil. How are you going?
Pretty good. Yeah, I think. We've got 9 left here. We're in potluck. Which United Nations Secretary General's aeroplane crashed in Zambia in September 1961?
No, I unfortunately have to join the conga line of I don't know.
Well, you know what? It's winding around the corner, so Murray, why not? See ya. Bye-bye. That's okay. Sue from Ulladulla. Oh, no, sorry. Sue, we'll come to you in a second. Peter from Elmore. Hello, Peter.
Hello, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good.
I was hoping it was going to go on a little bit longer before you got to me.
Oh.
Yeah, because I'm in that queue as well.
You're in the conga line?
Yeah, I'm up the well-known creek. Do you know that creek?
Yeah, I know that creek.
In the barbed wire canoe.
You've hired the barbed wire canoe and they haven't supplied you with a paddle. No.
Yeah, but you're catching tadpoles with a crowbar. Yeah.
Good luck, Pete. Right, good see ya. Peter. Good luck. Good luck with you. Ash in New South Wales, that's correct. who's going to be? Oh, Sue from Ulladulla. Sorry, Sue, I've got you here. Hi, Sue.
G'day there. How you doing?
Pretty good. We're up to question 15, potluck. Which United Nations Secretary General's aeroplane crashed in Zambia in September 1961?
That's correct. And quite a few people died, including, it might be Dirk Hammarskjöld.
What's your answer again?
I'm getting that right.
Say it again.
I'm going with Dirk Hammarskjöld.
I'll give it to you. Dag Hammarskjöld. Yes.
Okay.
Was it a CIA plot too?
I have no idea. But given what we have found out by the CIA about the CIA since, I'm quite happy to believe that.
Yes, I know. I know. It's easy to believe, isn't it?
It is. It is. And that was in the years when the United Nations was a far stronger body than it is now, and it really meant a great deal more.
Yeah.
Politically.
One of my texters says, my best guess is Yutant, because I can't spell Dag's name.
That's a very good answer.
Yeah, well, that's right. These were back in the early 60s when there was a whole lot of hope, wasn't there, coming off the back of the Second World War about internationalism and the willingness and ability to, and the rule of law and so on. Mm. And look where we are at the moment. What a mess.
Yes, up that creek.
We're up that international creek, exactly.
Yes.
Question 16. We're in potluck. You can move to the Wild West or Famous Allens if you like.
I don't know. Let's go with Wild West.
Ha ha. The Wild West. Question number 16. 10 questions left. By what name was the sharpshooter Martha Jane Canary better known?
Okay. Given that it's 77, I have a little bit like the ABC online delay. I have this little delay coming in my brain trying to get anybody's name. And no, the delay is not working for me.
Not working?
I know it, can't get it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Bye-bye. Thank you very much. All right. Kay from Bunbury in WA. G'day, Kay.
Hi, Phil. Look, I wasn't sure. Are you allowed to come on more than once a week?
Yeah, you can come. Oh, you can. Okay. If there's an arbitrary rule, you know, Kay, I'll just apply arbitrary justice here.
Oh, very good.
But you're very welcome on board, Kay.
Okay, you're very kind. Yeah. Can you repeat the question, please?
We are up to question 16. Yep. No, we're not. Sorry. Well, yes, we are up to question 16. We're in a category called the Wild West.
Yep.
By what name was the sharpshooter Martha Jane Canary better known?
Was it Calamity Jane?
Correct, yes.
Oh, wow, that's good.
Calamity Jane, that's nice. There were 10 left, there's now only 9. We're in the Wild West, but you can move to Potluck or Famous Allens.
Let's go back to Potluck, please.
Back to Potluck it is. Which item of Tony Abbott's clothing was sold for $700 at a Young Liberals fundraiser auction earlier this year?
Oh, Lord.
I know. I know.
who'd want it? How much did they get for it?
Which item of Tony Abbott's clothing was sold for $700?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. And Tony said, oh, I don't know, his Lycra riding top.
No, not his Lycra riding top. Thanks, Kay. Bye-bye. No, Adrian's got the right answer. Yes, Pat from the Point. That's funny, but it's not correct. All righty. Enid's in Perth. Hello, Enid.
Hello, how are you?
I'm all right, yeah. Questions?
I rang up for Dag Hammarskjöld, you see.
Not too many people knew Dag Hammarskjöld. Someone texted in. I can't remember his name, but he was a real dag.
Oh, was he? I did text it in before as well, but I thought I'd try and ring. No, I don't think I know about Tony Abbott. It wouldn't be his cycling shorts or something like that.
No, it wasn't his cycling shorts. No. No, Dag Hammarskjöld was quite a significant figure, wasn't he?
He was. Well, I was still in primary school then, but I do remember it, and there seemed to be a big fuss in the papers up in Queensland where I was at the time.
Yeah.
It certainly stayed in my brain anyway. Yeah.
But that was
when they had all that trouble in the Congo, wasn't it?
Exactly. Exactly.
Are you old enough to know that?
I remember it, yeah, and I've certainly read about it, yes, yeah.
Yes, yes.
So. When you say all that trouble in the Congo, you could apply that to the current situation too.
Well,
there has continued to be trouble in the Congo.
Yes, well, I think it's when they gave them independence, wasn't it?
That's right. That's right.
That didn't really quite work, no.
Anyway. No. All right. Thanks, Enid. See ya.
Bye. Bye.
1-300-800-222. Jane from Homebush has got the right answer. Olivia from Mount Hawthorne. Correct, yes. Tara's in the truck. Tara will know the answer to this. Hi, Tara.
Hey, Phil, I don't even know what the question is.
Oh, in that case, we're in a category called potluck. Which item of Tony Abbott's clothing was sold for $700 at a Young Liberals fundraiser auction earlier this year?
I know he got into a bit of mischief wearing his bathers one time, so I'll say his bathers.
Yeah, I just want a little bit more detail here, Tara.
Well, what do you call them? Swimmers? Buggy smugglers?
That's it. That's the one I wanted, yeah. Yes, it wasn't. I think it wasn't so much that Mr. Abbott wore swimwear. It was the type of swimwear he wore, I think.
Yeah.
Which Amy says, if it's his budgie smugglers, I'm going to have many questions. yes. Leon in Smythesdale in Victoria had the budgie smugglers as well. Chris in the Southern Water says, isn't there a line about the Congo and Billy Joel's song, We Didn't Start the Fire? Oh, yeah, they're probably... Yeah, you know, actually, there probably is. All righty, we're up to question 18. We're in potluck. There's one left in potluck, four left in the Wild West, three left in famous Allens.
Might as well stay in potluck.
Staying in potluck? Belgians in the Congo, that's right. That was the line, yeah. All right, staying in potluck. Last one. What is the common English name, Tara, for the spice that is known in South Asian cookery as jeera?
Jeera.
What's the common English name for this?
Jeera. What is it? An Asian spice.
What's the common English name for the spice known in South Asian cookery as jeera?
Coriander.
Not coriander. It's knocked one out, though, hasn't it? Thanks, Tara. See ya. Yeah. It's knocked one out, hasn't it? It's not coriander. Dan from Windsor. G'day, Dan.
You there, mate?
Yep, I am. Question 18, we're up to. Potluck. What's the common English name for the spice known in South Asian cookery as jeera?
Mate, that is a very tricky question because... You're actually speaking with a chef.
Ah. Well, Dan.
And that has just, I could hear the last quote baffled as well.
What's the common
English? Real guess at this, mate.
Yeah, common English name for the spice known in South Asian cookery as jeera. It's not coriander.
No, no. Well, that'd be a herb anyway. Spice. I will, look, mate, I don't want to waste your time. I just hope that one of the previous callers really made my night, and I don't even know what it was, but I will say, please, everyone remember that if you keep facing the sun, the shadows will always fall behind you.
That's
I'm going to say ginger.
Not ginger, but that knocks another one out. Thanks, Dan.
Good evening.
Good on you. Bye-bye. That's very nice too, isn't it? Very good. All righty. What about David from Beaconsfield? Hello, David.
Yeah, well, I'm just going to take a punt and say turmeric.
It's not turmeric. Well, not a bad effort either, but it's not turmeric. Colin in Boolaroo in South Australia. G'day, Col.
G'day, Philip.
Hello. How are you? Common English name for the spice known in South Asian cookery as jeera.
Yeah, I'm not a cook, so I'm even further behind. the only thing I could think of was the Star of the East or something.
No, not that one. Sorry, Cole. No, not that one. David from Mount Pleasant. G'day, David.
Yeah, good evening, Phil.
Good evening. Question 18.
A couple of things.
Yeah.
A couple of things. One is Belgium. Congo, the problem with Congo, and people should look this up, really. The problem with Congo is the Belgian royal family who ran the place for a long time and...
I think raped the place is probably the better description, isn't it, David?
That's right. And a reasonable description of the Belgian royal family's attitude in the Congo was they were murderous bunch of ratbags.
Correct.
Secondly, on a more positive note, would you like me to book you a ticket for Fremantle versus Sydney at Optus in a month's time for a preview of the grand final, mate?
I would love to be there. I would love to. I've never been to that stadium, actually.
Well, mate, the welcome mat's open.
I would love to do that.
As to the question, I don't really know. I have a guess. Is that there's a spice called Myoram or something like that. Mojaram?
There's a herb called marjoram, but it's not it. No. Thanks, David. It's going to be a cracker, though. You're quite right. See you, mate. Bye-bye. No, that's not it. Mike from Oak Park. G'day, Mike.
Morning, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. Question 18. What's the common English name for the spice known in South Asian cookery as jeera?
I'm going to take a wild guess and say garam masala.
It's not garam masala, no. Well, we're getting through them, aren't we? Yes, it's not garam masala. Chris from Leppington's got the right answer. Lindley from Nedlands in WA. Correct. Christine from Roeville's got the right answer as well. 1-300-800-222 is the number. The Trevs are around. Trev from Service Paradise. G'day, Trev.
Hello, Philip.
Hello, Trev.
Yeah, God, you're asking me about herbs and spices.
What is the common English name for the spice known in South Asian cookery as jeera? Look, it's not garam masala, it's not coriander, it's not turmeric, it's not ginger.
No, I'm thinking about something a bit more common. I'm going to refer to John Cleese and go, basil. Basil.
Thank you, mate. It's not basil. It's a spice. It's a spice. So what are we after here? Mark from Cherrybrook. Hi, Mark.
Oh, hi, Phil. Oh, that was quick. It's cumin.
Correct. Yes, the common English name for the spice known in South Asian cookery as jeera is, cumin or cumin. I've never known how you pronounce it, actually. Well, I've always said cumin. You say cumin? Let's call the whole thing off, hey?
You're either you're coming or you're not.
That's right. Shall I put coming in this? Yes. Question number 19. Hang on, that's it for potluck. So we've got four left in the Wild West. We've got three left in Famous Allen, so seven left.
I'll go for Famous Allen's.
Famous Allen's, question number 19. In 2013, the Queen granted a posthumous pardon to which famous cryptanalyst and computer scientist?
Oh, he did a movie about it, Mum.
They did.
Oh gosh. Allen Sparring? I can't remember the name, but I saw the movie. Turing, Alan Turing.
Correct. Very. Where did that come from?
The movie.
Alan Turing. Yes. Yes, he was.
He was a computer boffin. He was inventing code for World War II, I think.
He did. He was. He was a code breaker. He was an early inventor and designer of computers. Brilliant man, and was appallingly treated because he was gay. Shocking.
Yeah, very brilliant man, yeah.
He was. Question number 20, Famous Allen's. Two left here.
Yep.
Which hapless British presenter appears in It's Time and How Are You? It's Alan.
Oh, British. Alan Partridge?
Correct, yes. If you've never seen Alan Partridge shows, by the way, people, you have to look at them. They are hilarious.
Yesterday's quickfire phone-in only yielded three calls. My mistake, I think panel beating was too narrow a topic. So today we're going to open it out with the question, what is the best thing? So far we've got Sky Plus, a cup of Brazil nuts, that was amusing, livestock, valid, and wet wipes. That was a fascinating call from an elderly lady in Hempton. Let's have some more. Line two.
The first smile of a newborn.
Ah, who could not like that?
Herod.
Yes, Herod. We don't like him. Line four, Sean.
Oh, it's got to be your radio show, Alan.
Maybe I just love it because it's all about Alan Partridge's. A very, very, very satisfied with himself radio presenter who's, as we heard, Mark, absolutely hopeless. Question number 21. One left in Famous Allen's, if you like.
Yep. Let's go.
Which English playwright wrote 40 Years On, Habeas Corpus, and Talking Heads. Famous Allens.
English playwright. Talking Heads. No, I have no idea about that one, Phil.
No good. Sorry, Mark. Thank you anyway for having a crack. Ross from Scoresby says, yes, my hero, Alan Turing. He's the wallpaper image on my phone. Yeah, he was. He was a great man. Chris and the Southern Waters had Alan Partridge. It's all over YouTube. I think you can find it on YouTube. It's all over the joint. But if you haven't actually ever seen it, you really should. It's really very, 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 very funny. John from Bulimba. G'day, John.
G'day, Phil. That was very quick.
Which English playwright wrote 40 Years On, Habeas Corpus, and Talking Heads?
I think it's Alan Hopwood.
No, not Alan Hopwood. No, it's not. Principessa from Tenterfield. Yes, the Alan Turing movie was heartbreaking. Thank God the world is an easier place to live in these days. Yeah, no, it was. It was what happened to him was quite horrendous. Cameron from South Perth, do you know who this playwright is, Cameron?
Alan Allen.
No, it's not Alan Allen. No, it's not. All right, I'll tell you what. We're up to question 21. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 left. We have got to get into a little thing called
the Mighty Challenge,
where we had 5 questions left. Thanks for all the texts, by the way, about the story of Alan Turing, the movie about Alan Turing, which was called The Imitation Game. It had starred Benedict Cumberbatch as Alan Turing, the brilliant British code breaker. He helped break the Enigma code, of course, in the early development of computers. Just a brilliant man, and hounded to madness and death, really, because he was gay, blackmailed. It's a terrible story, as many texters have said, made me cry. I get that too. 1-300-800-222 is the number if you would like to have a crack here. Now, where are we? Beverly from Hurlston Park. G'day, Beverly.
Yes, hello there.
We're up to question number 21 here. We're in Famous Allens. Which English playwright wrote 40 Years On, Habeas Corpus and Talking Heads?
I'm wondering if it's Alan Bennett.
Correct. Yes, it is. It's the wonderful Alan Bennett. Very good. Well, all right, we have got 4 left here. They're all in the Wild West.
Oh dear. Okay.
Oh.
not my subject, but you know.
You know what? You never know, Beverly. You've been around.
You never know.
You know.
We hope. You've
roped a bronco or two in your life, probably.
Oh, definitely not.
Chuck the saddle over.
Definitely not.
You've kept them doggies moving, haven't you?
No. I mean, I adore horses, but I've never learned to ride a horse.
Oh, is that right?
I just love them. Just love them. You know.
I think it's best avoided riding a horse. Beverly, every time I've been on one, I've been hanging on for dear life.
That's right. I think you've got to be a natural.
Very looking forward to the end of the ride, thinking, is this going to go on for much longer?
That's right.
And looking down,
they're wonderful creatures.
And looking down, Beverly, when you're up there, thinking, it's an awful long way to fall.
Oh, terrible, yes. Yes, I did when I was about 10, 11.
Hmm.
I fell off a horse and was taken for... Yeah, it was the first ride my girlfriend and I had ever had, and my dear Uncle Bill, he took us for a ride, and I fell off, but I got straight up, and evidently I said, bloody hell, I'm getting back up on you, and I got back up somehow.
Yeah.
But thank God it was, you know, out in the bush, just on a trail, very... very old nags, and I didn't get hurt. It was just pure luck. You don't hurt.
Yeah, well, I think as a kid, your kids are made of rubber too, aren't they, Beverly? I mean, you tend to bounce a bit, you know, but not when you're old.
Must have been, because you're very lucky not to get, you know, they tell us that all those years ago, Elizabeth Taylor fell off a horse as a child, and she had problems her whole life.
Yeah.
And with her back. But, you know, anyway, I live in hope that I can answer the next one.
The Wild West, 4 questions left. Question 22. Which famous shootout lasted for 30 seconds? on the 26th of October, 1881, in Tombstone, Arizona.
Which shootout? You want the name of the shootout?
I want the name of the famous shootout that lasted for the whole of 30 seconds on the 26th of October, 1881, in Tombstone, Arizona.
Yes, I think that marvellous movie, I remember I've seen it several times, years ago, several times. The name of it, the name of it.
Which famous shootout?
Yeah, no. And yet I know the incident, and it was real, it happened. In Tombstone. No, I don't know the name of the shootout, and yet it was, if it's right, I think it might have been Kirk Douglas and Burt Lancaster in it, but I could have the wrong movie. The name of the actual shootout, it really escapes me.
It's not there, but is
thanks.
It? Thanks, Beverly.
No.
See ya.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. That's not going to help. Chris in the Southern Border says, Phil Clint Eastwood would have had a very different career if he'd shared your opinion about riding horses. Well, I'm sure he would. Can he actually ride them? Could Clint Eastwood actually ride horses? Because you know how sometimes in the movies, even though they're shown to be riding horses, it's often not them. just saying. Paul from Geelong. G'day, Paul.
How are you going, Phil?
Pretty good. Question 22. The Wild West, which famous shootout lasted for 30 seconds on the 26th of October, 1881, in Tombstone, Arizona?
I don't know, Phil. I'll just go to the shootout at OK Corral.
What's the answer again?
OK Corral.
I'm going to be really harsh here, Paul, and say no. It is pretty harsh. Dale from Newborough. G'day, yeah. Hi, Dale. Which famous shootout lasted for 30 seconds on the 26th of October, 1881, in Tombstone, Arizona?
Yeah, it was the shootout of the OK Corral.
What do you reckon, Dave? Yeah. I'm going to be really harsh. I've ruled this out once already. So, Daryl from St Kilda.
Yes, how are you going, Phil?
It had a specific title.
I reckon it's the gunfight at the OK Corral.
Correct. Yeah, that's it. That's how it, look, I'm sorry, people, but that's how it's known. The gunfight at the OK Corral. It lasted for the whole of 30 seconds. Quite a few people, I think, didn't walk away from it.
No, a lot of damage.
Question number 23, The Wild West. Which cowboy actor's final film role was in The Shootist?
The Shootist?
Oh, Daryl. Daryl, you can't have help here. We're going to have to move on. Sorry. You can't have help, as you know, on the Mighty Challenge. Jim from Seaford. Hello, Jim.
Oh, good morning, Phil.
Morning. Which cowboy actor's final film role was in The Shootist?
Oh, I can see him, but I can't remember his name. Oh, I can see his face right in front of me. No.
No good?
Oh, no, sorry.
See you, Jim. Bye-bye. Gary, that's correct. Susan and Hobart, correct. Paul from Plainlands, correct. Sandra from Perth, correct. Annette from Perth, correct. Frosty from Torquay. G'day, Frosty.
G'day, Phil. How are you?
Pretty good. Question 23. Only three left here. Which cowboy actor's final film role was in The Shootist?
Well, that'd have to be John Wayne.
Yes, the John Wayne, of course. All right, two left. The Man Who Shot Liberty Valance was a 1962 hit for which singer?
Oh, Gene Pitney.
Correct. Yes, it was. 'Cause the point of a gun was the only law that Liberty understood when it came to shooting straight and fast. He was mighty good. Many a man would face his gun, and many a man would fall. The man who
Liberty Valance. He shot Liberty Valance. He was the bravest of them all.
Yes, Frosty. Yes, yes, nice. Yeah. Johnny Chicken.
Yeah, mate, I was thinking I was going to have to go to Jimmy Stewart as the actor, but you threw the music at me and there you go.
Johnny Chicken Tooth says, Phil, nice work, Phil. A gunfight is, as Shakespeare noted, not a shootout. You're welcome. No, I think that's right. That's why I was being pernickety about it. Had in Bridgetown in WA says, Phil, apparently Clint Eastwood was a good horseman. He was also a really excellent pistol shot and outshot John Wayne when he was challenged at a shooting range when he was practicing once. Oh, okay. You know how often actors aren't exactly good at what they seem to be doing on the screen. With some exceptions, of course. Tom Cruise is very good at stunts because we've seen him do his own stunts. Frosty?
Yeah, mate?
You're in a good position here. Because
it would seem that way.
Yeah.
There's always a hill too far.
We're up to question 25. Yeah. Question 25. The Wild West. Clint Eastwood, Lee Van Cleef, and Eli Wallach play the three title roles in which 1966 Western?
That's kind of like you, me, and Dave, isn't it, mate? The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Oh, yeah. Ah, oh, dear. Yeah, terrific Western, actually. Frosty, wasn't it? Really good.
Yeah, it was. Well, Clint didn't make too many bad ones. But I'll tell you what, we've got another shootout coming up between you and me.
Oh, yeah.
And that's when your Swans come down to my Saints at Marvel.
You want some more punishment, do you?
Yeah, yeah. I tell you what, you and I will have a can of Fanta on it. What do you reckon?
Hey, what's that player of yours? What's his name? Liam... Liam Ryan, yeah. The little small forward who nearly killed us when we played. He had a terrific game last week too, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he's kicked 11 in 2 weeks.
Yeah,
and he's the lowest priced of our four big recruits.
Yeah,
so we're getting the best value for money out of him. And keep your eye on our boy Darcy Wilson. I'm telling you, he's going to win a Brownlow.
Okay. All right. Yes. Well, I think that's fair enough too. But we were lucky to get away with that.
Good on you, mate. I appreciate it.
Yeah. All right, Frosty. Good stuff. Now, hang on there. Don't hang up, and we'll get the details. Dave will get the details from you, and we shall whiz out the magnet to you, which you should get in anywhere from a week to 3 months. You know how things go. Gary, The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly. Eli Wallach stole that movie. Brilliant acting. Ross from Scoresby says Clint Eastwood is also very good at talking to empty chairs. Yes, he is. That's true. Little brother Tucker says the gunfight at the OK Corral was not actually at the OK Corral. The shootout, the gunfight occurred between CS Fly's boarding house and a photography studio, and only three of the cowboys died. So, nitpicking between gunfight and shootout is a bit of a stretch. Yeah, it's called the gunfight at the OK Corral. It's not called the shootout. Chris in the Night Watch says, personally, I think Once Upon a Time in the West is one of the best westerns. Yeah, well, that's a good, that's a great kind of, late night discussion, isn't it? What was the best western ever made? I don't know. Like, there's a whole list of customers, aren't there? Principessa from Tenterfield says The Good, the Bad, the Ugly has the wildest soundtrack, really sets the scene. Yeah, that's true. Clint Eastwood's 96. Wow, he is. Still, he's still going strong, isn't he? I think he is. Amazingly, James and Wyatt Earp lived on into the 1920s. Okay. Chris in Goulburn Water says about Clint Eastwood from a Hollywood Reporter article, he started out in the movies as an extra riding horses. Okay. So he is a good horse rider. His stunt director described him as a pretty physical guy and likes to do his own stunts. So there you go. Nice work.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.